better. this weekend's been busy for us already. Christy and I got to go yesterday to the Recharge Conference that our fellowship does. Northeast Fellowship puts that together every year for teenagers. So I got to go and speak there all day. So it was really a lot of fun. I don't get to do a lot of this anymore, so it's always a great opportunity. We get to hang out with teens again and be able to do that. And so we're having some Q&A and talks and things, and one of the teenagers said, I was already partway through our, you know, our talk, our discussion. We had multiple talks throughout the day. And he looks at me, he goes, hey, so wait a minute. Are you like the youth pastor? Is that why you're here today? And I've actually gotten that before, and so I thought, maybe I'm past that, but no, apparently I can still pass for that, but I am actually the pastor of the church, and so luckily we have Mr. John Phillips back there that helps with youth and children, and but I still get mistaken from time to time, okay? But don't be confused today. I am bringing the message, and that's one of my main responsibilities. And in that today, we're going to be back in our series, 24-7 and 24. So how do we live this life in a godly way? How do we do that well? We make mistakes all the time. And so just so you know, church is always a place for sinners, and that because that's all of us, right? We all come into this place with baggage and mistakes of the week, and we go, God, we need your help to do this. And so that's actually the exact right perspective that we should have. We're here for a reason to learn and grow, and part of that comes from really understanding who we are in Christ. And so today we'll be talking about citizenship. Now, if you turn on the news, citizenship's a big issue, right? We've heard of that. If you're wondering, 5,000 unauthorized entries into the U.S. occur almost every single day. Wow, that seems staggering. Well, what you might not know is that the U.S. actually integrates 2,200 people a day as new members of society. So there's a process that people go through that they can actually become members. And so many of us would say, if you've been a citizen of the United States, that we're very fortunate, right? And there's probably a reason that there's the broad mass of the world that goes like, I want part of that. Okay, so in some aspect, we should understand that desire, that want to be a part of something that might be greater than what somebody else has somewhere else. And lest we forget, our great, 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 whoever probably got on a boat at some point and got off, whether it was on Staten Island or somewhere else, and then went through the process of becoming a citizen of the United States. Unless you're part of, maybe you've checked out the ancestry, maybe you're part of one of those founding families that came to the U.S. and formed it. But today we'll be talking about a greater citizenship. So most of us in the room would probably say, yeah, I'm a citizen of the United States, and that's good, and there's benefits that come along with that. But today I want to talk to you about your citizenship that you can have in heaven if you don't, or if you already have it, the joy that we can take in life anticipating the place that will be forever in eternity. It's a greater citizenship. This citizenship that we have in the United States is temporary, right? It's earthly. There'll be a day where we will die and we'll stand before God and we'll say goodbye to that earthly citizenship, whatever it was, and then we step into a better one, into heaven. So that's my hope for us today. If you don't have that today, if you're not sure if you have that, then we'll talk about how you can enter into that. And so the first fill in the blank, if you have the little fill out the blank thing, if you like doing that, the first one is be imitators of faithfulness. So keep discipleship going. This is one of the big things that we should be doing here on a regular basis. Paul says in the book of Philippians to the church in Philippi, these words in verse 17 of chapter 3, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. I like what Oswald Chambers said in relation to this. He said, God has not called us to success, but to faithfulness. So how do we do that? That's a big question in our lives. How do we remain faithful? How does that happen? Well, first, it comes from not only putting our faith and trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, but then we have to go, how do we remain in that? We were in one of our talks yesterday. We were talking to the students about some of the practices that we're in. Well, we're in regards to our Christian walk, we're disciplined, right? There are certain things that we do. We spend time reading our Bibles. We will meet with other believers, like here in church. We'll pray to God. We'll seek Him out. we have a good work ethic, right? We're dedicated to the Lord and other things that we're doing in life. And then we also want to make sure that we're not lacking integrity. We were walking through the life of Joseph yesterday, so Genesis 37 through 50, and we were kind of talking about, like, how did Joseph navigate all those difficult circumstances in his life? Well, he had a few things that he really focused on well. It was being disciplined in the Lord. It was maintaining that work ethic. And then it was never lacking integrity. Whatever situation he was in, there was no doubt who he was, that he was rooted in Christ. And so this should be who we are, but we should also be looking to others, right? That in keeping this discipleship going and keeping this faithfulness, it really is a team effort. So I like the word here, sumimitas in the Greek. It's an imitator of others. So maybe if I can better relate to our culture at this time, if you're a young person in here, you probably know what this means. Influencers, right? Influencers. Those are people who you might find on social media, and they are doing certain things, they're wearing certain things, they're eating certain places, and young people will watch this, maybe some older people too, they'll try to stay up on the times, they'll watch this, and they'll go, that's my influencer, that's my person I'm following. And you know, in reality, all the influencers are, they're marketers, because what do? They are paid by companies to wear certain shoes, kicks, whatever you call them. They wear, I know that word, people, right? Yeah, their shoes. So they wear certain shoes, they wear certain other types of clothes, certain jewelry, hats, whatever. They drive certain things, they only eat at certain places. And newsflash, those places pay them to say those things, right? So it's okay if you like certain things, all right, if you like following certain people. But Paul is saying here, he's like, there are people that we should be following. That we, if we want to continue in this faithfulness, we should be doing something, and it's imitating those who are already following Christ, who have been faithfully doing that. Right? We don't have to wonder. In one of our talks yesterday, we talked about making good decisions. You know, I've gotten that a lot over the years of doing student ministry. I did that for a long time before we came here, and you know, students would ask me questions. They'd be like, "Well, how do I know?" Fill in the blank. Well, am I supposed to date this person? Am I supposed to go to this school? These are good, you know, legitimate questions that get ready to launch out into life. But when it comes down to it, the good decisions that we make now or that we're going to make in the future are really rooted into knowing who we are in Christ, right? We're a citizen of heaven. But then we start with going, hey, who's around me who's really doing this well? Like, who's being really faithful? Because I need to be like that person, right? It's a formula. It's really a fill in the blank. It's not so much of a, I have no idea how all these puzzle pieces are supposed to fit together. It's a, who's following Christ well? And that's what I want to be like. That's what we should be seeking. So you can follow your influencers. You can follow maybe friends or family. But the best thing that we can do is follow those who are following after Christ well. Okay, so that's being imitators of faithfulness. The second one here is be aware of fakes. I thought that was a unique picture. Snag that one. Have you ever seen a goldfish with a shark fin? But he's probably not scaring too many people, right? I don't know if you've checked out the news lately. They sometimes tag like great whites to, you know, figure out where they are, because those are typically the ones that go after people. And so if you're going to the beach or anything, I'm sorry I said that, but they tag him. And so I read an article recently. They tag this great white fish, and he just keeps like swimming around one little beach in Florida, and I'm like, I'm not going there, right? So be afraid of real sharks, right? But not of goldfish. And so we, in following people or being imitators of certain people, we need to know like who we should be following, but also those who are saying like, I am a Christian, but not really acting like it, right? Now, it's easy to spot a goldfish with a shark fin. Maybe more difficult when it comes to our faith, but God, through Paul here, he has some words for us. So be aware of fakes, and then know how to spot them. This is important. It says in verse 18, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." So, you know, the sad thing is that counterfeiters are everywhere, right? This is true when it comes to our walk. This is true when it comes to our currency. I know when I first heard that, I was like, who goes after people that, like, make fake money? Like, who does that? I found that out as a kid. And I was like, it's the Secret Service. Did you guys know that? Yeah, and I was like, surely they got more important things to do. I mean, they got like the president and, you know, all the other stuff, you know, at the White House, wherever they're going. They actually protect a lot of people, but, you know, over the years, all the former presidents and officials, things like that, they have a lot of really important jobs. But then one is tracking down counterfeiters. Now, why would that be important? Well, even though the value of the dollar has gone down a little bit recently, it's important because what happens if just counterfeiting runs wild? Well, at some point, our money's not worth anything, right? And so that's the stability of our nation, our economy, our value to other nations, to the world, our currency. If it starts to drop, well, that may be because there's some counterfeits out there, right? And we're never going to get fully rid of that, but I just thought that was interesting. Apparently, it's pretty important to make sure that we're aware of counterfeits, right? Now, encourage those who are seeking after God and go, hey, here's how I can help you get there. If you haven't made that decision, here's how I can help you grow in godliness. But then there are some who are just malicious. Some who would say, I know the faith. Yeah, I believe in that. And then lead people astray. And so Paul wants people to be aware of this. And so he's talking about a list of people previously listed, but then he says about these people, now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. So he uses this word here for tears. Kaleo, it means weeping, experiencing pain, or mourning for the dead, specifically. Paul used some choice words here, because those who don't know Christ, what do we know about them? They're dead in their trespasses and sins, and that was us before we knew Christ. And so he says, they're walking around, they're thinking that they know Christ, they're even leading people astray, and then we have to come to this point where we go, hey, here's where we're going to land. Here's where we're going to be. Love everyone, yes, but then we need to make sure that we are looking around us. And then he says, he uses this other word, walking as enemies of Christ. And this word for walk as enemies, it's the word ekthros in the Greek, and it means opposing God in everything. Doesn't sound like a good place to be, right? So people who... It's almost this compare and contrast. He's like, imitate people who are following Christ, and then be on the lookout for people who are not, right? Because there's this broad spectrum in between. And he says, we should be able to know this, but Paul's saying this with tears. He's like, there are people that have heard the message. There are people that have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. It's like what John, you know, was sharing. Like we need to know what we believe. We not need to be wrapped up in sin and captured by it, because where does it lead us? Not to a good place. And those who are faithfully committed to Christ, well, they'll be pursuing him. Even if you need to reach out. Thank you for sharing that, by the way, John. If you need to reach out and find somebody to help, to find accountability, like, because maybe you're just struggling. Maybe you're in this place and you're like, I want to be an imitator of faithfulness. We should want that, right? But it's hard. It's hard sometimes. So we might need some help. But Paul's sad about these guys. And sometimes it's difficult. We don't really want to walk that line, but we also can't be cultural Christians too. So I always say to people, you know, hey, I think I'm going to come to church. Yeah, you should. But like, you know, keep coming. You know, visit, that's a good thing, but be here or find a community that you can be plugged into, because, you know, Christmas and Easter, it's just not enough, right? And if you've been here for any length of time, if you've been in the church, you've been a faithful follower of Christ, then you know that's a huge part of our faith, right? Doing this together. And then in verse 19, it says, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with mindset on earthly things. So this is the result of counterfeiting, right? And maybe you've, I don't know if you've ever paid with like a larger bill when you go somewhere. Maybe you have one of those nice $100 bills, right? And you hand it to the cashier, and what do they typically do? Or that's what they used to do, right? I think they have like a pen now or something else, special machine they put it under. But I remember, you know, seeing that. It's like, wow, this is important. There's a skill that's involved in recognizing this and rising this. And it's not to the shame of others, but it's to recognize so that we know what the truth is, right? Now, what do people have to do that? I imagine there's some training that those Secret Service guys have to go through. There's some training that maybe a cashier or maybe somebody that's taking your order at the restaurant has to go through. Now, because what's going to happen? The person who takes that money, they're going to be responsible for it, right? They turn it in at the end of their shift, and the manager says, I'm sorry. You owe this much now because this wasn't a real bill. So it matters, because what's the end result here? Where their end is destruction. It's the word apaleia. It's used many times in the New Testament. And it consists of a misery, separation from God in hell forever. Now, we know that life involves death, right? Unless Jesus Christ comes back and he rescues us all, he opens up the sky, we know that's a possibility. But if not, we'll die and we'll stand before God, and we'll have to answer this question of where will we be when we are standing before God. And it's not like something we can run away from. Maybe you remember years ago, there was a series of movies, I think it started in the year 2000. Haven't seen any of them. The concept was interesting to me. Final Destination, right? And so there are these group of people who managed to escape death, and then the premise of the rest of the movie is where they were running around, you know, trying to get away from it, right? And some did, some did not. And I find that interesting, that even in our time, we gravitate towards these concepts of like, could I really, you know, get away, or could I evade it? You know, it's not like we can, right? And there's this destruction that those who don't know God are being led to, and this is how they live in the world. So it says here, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. So again, two things here, and I like what Chrysostom said. He was a church father. He said, your belly is given to you so that you may nourish it, not so that it may burst. Your body is given to you so that you may rule over it, not so that it may not be a mistress. The God of the belly, that is greed, overwhelms the whole body. Set self-constraints as a bound to it, as God sets the sands to the sea. That's a good word from Chrysostom. We need to temper those things, right? And it not only starts with the conversation of like, what is so prevalent in our culture that is destroying not only ourselves, but our marriages, our families, pornography. That's a huge one, right? But we're scared to talk about those things. We're scared to share those things, but yet, Where do these things lead? Where do these practices of being separated from God, their God is their belly and their glory is their shame. So the things that those who don't know God, that are walking in, that even may think that they are the things that we would go like, that's not like, why would we glory in those things? Why would those things are shameful and wrong? And so this word here for shame is siknoe in the Greek, and it just means things opposed to God. So everything that doesn't honor the Lord, and I like what Chrysostom said there. Why does God give us things? Why do he give us good appetites? Why does he? So yes, so we can go, wow, food, it tastes amazing. Thank you, God, for that great gift. Not so that we might say, I want more of that. I want more. I just want to satisfy myself over and over again. And we can take that and use it with anything. So Paul's going, hey, there's some things we should be looking for. Be imitators of faithfulness. Be aware of fakes and where that leads. And it's really only going to lead to earthly thoughts instead of heavenly thoughts. You know, in the conversations that I have with believers, people who've been believers for a long time, they just think differently, right? You know, sometimes it's hard. We get bogged down in the thoughts of the world and all the constraints and all our obligations and the monotony of it at times, and it can feel depressing. But when we're focused on heavenly things, because we've got a greater citizenship, right? We've got this place in heaven, and so God gives us this ability to think about those things now and not be drugged down. So here's the last one. Be focused on forever. So we've got be imitators of faithfulness, be aware of fakes, so we know what is true, we know what's not, we know what we believe and what we don't, and we're focusing on those things that are true, that are knowable. Even though we live in a culture that says, you can be right, what your truth is your truth. Anything can be true, and that can be right. But yeah, at the end of the day, those things don't add up, right? There's got to be a truth that is central, that is more important, and is objective, right? Not subjective based on what we think. And so this is why Paul's able to turn us towards this focus, and God is saying this to us today. It's not just about following people who are faithful and looking out for fakes and not living that lifestyle, but we need to be focused on forever, right? This gives us perspective. And if you look throughout the book of Philippians, Paul, he highlights a variety of things for the church in Philippi. They're really just kind of foundational core principles to being a believer. And it would have been in that first century, which if you knew anything about the church in Philippi, the people there weren't very religious. There weren't synagogues. There weren't like places they could go and worship, or at least have some sort of semblance of a place to worship. And so he's trying to get them to focus on a few things. And I think if you've been here throughout this series, you've probably seen some central themes. And I believe that's why the Lord led me to do this 24/7 and 24. How do we do this every day? How do we live a godly life, or how do we do our best? Well, part of it's following other people who are being faithful. Part of it's recognizing what's not true in our culture, not following people who are deviating from our faith, deviating from what the Bible says, because that's really the most important thing at the end of the day. What does the Bible say? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what other people say. It matters what the Bible says, our inherent source of truth. And so be focused on forever. Well, how do we do this? Paul says in verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." There's a couple really good words here. Citizenship, politimeo in the Greek, it means the commonwealth of citizens. So this can be applied to anything. Again, so we think about citizenship like our place in the world, in the United States, man, gifted beyond measure, that we might be here. And my hope is that we would use our platform of yes, wealth, no matter how much we make, we're better off than like a lot of the rest of the world. There's a high percentage of that. So how do we do that? How do we use it well for God's kingdom? And then the good news is here, he doesn't leave it at that. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. So for those who know God, those who have committed their lives to him, we've got this guarantee. You know, it's not like we have to walk about life just like not knowing what's going to happen, and I don't know what's going to be on the other side when I die, or even experiencing the joy in this life. And we'll see next week. Paul's going to talk a lot about this, but one of the big central themes of the book of Philippians is joy. How do we take joy in every circumstance? Well, it comes down to this. Do we really believe that there's this place that we will land when we die, and we will be with God forever in heaven? That's our eternal destiny if you are a follower of Christ. So, but our citizenship is in heaven. I love the word in the Greek here. It's the word uranos. It means the seat of the order of things eternal, consummately perfect, where God dwells and other heavenly people. So God's going to be there. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great gathering, the greatest gathering of all time, for eternity. And so this short experience that we have in life, it really pales in comparison. And the reason that Paul's able to say, I can take joy, I can rejoice in every circumstance, and he knew, I can be beaten to death almost. I can be mocked, I can be ridiculed, I can lose everything, and I can still be joyful. So does your struggle fit within that, I wonder? Does this forever perspective conquer everything else? Well, it should for us as believers. It doesn't mean that things aren't hard, right? It doesn't mean that we don't go through struggles. It doesn't mean that there are things that, like, some days we're just like, I just can't get through the day. This is causing me so much grief. But what do we lean on? Well, this truth that we can hold to. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, what do? We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have confidence. Again, it's not in a present situation most of the time, right? And if I were to ask any of you, hey, how's your day going? And we'd say, good. That's what we do, right? But if we were to really, is there anything bad that happened this week? It's one of the things that we practice with our girls every day after school. We say, tell us one good thing. Tell us one bad thing. There's got to be something that we can gather. We can say, here's our experience. But beyond that, what we experience in this life, we can still take confidence in Christ, because him in our lives conquers everything else. And we're actually living with the benefits of that now. We're in this awaited anticipation of something great. And I don't know if maybe you can relate to this better if you are a younger person in the room. But if you're waiting for our kids are always asking, when's my next birthday? Is it next week? Is it next month? I'm really hoping it's soon. I think you know why, Mom and Dad. Because there's something I've been wanting, right? And when I get that, it'll make everything so much better. And there's something weird that happens the day or the week, maybe the minute after it's received. Somehow it's not that great anymore, right? And so these earthly things, right, they lose value so quickly, don't they? of anything that can make us happy. We'll we'll talk about that more next week, that there's so many things that we perceive that bring us happiness, right? But there's only one thing that brings us joy. It's knowing and walking with God wholeheartedly. And we'll close it here in verse 21. It says, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So what's the results of our heavenly citizenship? If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus is who he said he was. He died on the cross. He conquered sin and death. He got back up. The Bible tells us if we confess that, if we say that's true, I believe that, it says we'll have eternal life, but it goes so much deeper than that, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And there's going to be so many things that are going to happen. We'll be transformed. I don't know if you've ever had anything happen, an ailment, a difficulty, a broken bone or something like that, then you feel that a lot more, right? Every time the rains come in, maybe something hurts, and you go, man, I can tell the pain of this life. I can experience it right now, and it's leading to something greater. And you know what that does for us, too? It puts it in perspective. Just before one Sunday, Megan was talking, I think, with the band, with the group, and just mentioning some of the health struggles and things that were going on recently, and just said, this is a reminder to me that I'm not meant for this place. Isn't that interesting, the perspective that we get when we're like, man, I know this is hard, but you know what it does for us? It makes us go, man, heaven, my citizenship in that place, how much greater is it going to be when I think about the struggles that I go through here? I want to read one more passage, and then I'll close. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, and he uses the same word here for power. I love the word power in the scripture. There's a couple of different places, and it's just like it emphasizes things about God and about our placement, because he says, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself, he's going to bring us to himself. He's going to transform us. We'll not have to dwell in this difficulty anymore. But I want us to remember something about God himself. It says in Hebrews 1:1-4, it says, long ago at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited and is more excellent than theirs. So we rest on a great Savior, don't we? Not someone who was created, but someone who was pre-existent. He reigned before anything existed. He was a part of that creation by his word. And now everything, every little cell, every molecule of even our bodies, the chair that you are sitting in, is held together by the word of his mouth. He speaks, and that's why we continue to exist. He allows it, right? So he is sovereign over everything, and he upholds everything. And the good news, he's made purification for our sins. He's taken care of everything. We don't have to wonder, can I do anything that would separate me from God's love? He says, there's nothing that you could do to do that, if you put your faith and trust in him. So maybe we just need to rest in that security, not so much as a nation. Maybe you think financially too, you're like, well, I've got this guarantee. My bank said $250,000 of it is federally insured, and I know if I need it, I can get it out. They won't tell me we gave it to somebody else. They'll say, you can get it. I've never seen that much money before, but if you have that, then great. But there's a much greater security than that, right? Of not just a certain amount of money you can pull out if you need it, if you have it, but a God of the universe who created us, who made us in his likeness, his image, gave us life and a purpose here too. We know that we have that no matter what we're doing. We have a great purpose he's designed us for. And maybe we'll put it in perspective with this. We've recently looked into ancestry things, and so I wanted to know where Ancestry.com came from. It's one of the companies you can go to and find out, you know, your origins. Very cool stuff. And I looked it up, and apparently this started back in 1983 in Utah. It was known as the Generations Network. It's now, of course, the largest family history ancestry-related company in the world. But why is this significant to us? Why does it matter where we come from? Why does it matter to us what our heritage is? Well, you know, some of these places now, they can tell you like what genetically, like what things you might have to worry about or you're predisposed to. Sometimes it's cool to go back and be like, oh, I came from this place. My ancestry's from here. Oh, that's cool. I'm from this area. And now we celebrate that while we live in a free country, right? So somebody did something, I don't know, it was this week, and one of my girls say, why would they do that? It was something crazy. I don't remember what it was. And I said, well, we live in a free country, luckily. So we can worship God. We can be thankful for that, of being citizens of a great nation. But again, we come back to this and we go, our real citizenship is in heaven. This place is temporary. The struggle in between reminds us how much greater that place is that we're going. And then what do we do with that? We go, because it's so significant where I'm going, what I do right now really matters. Okay? So I hope that it does to you. And if maybe you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. I'll be here afterwards. And we've talked a lot about that we might admit that we're sinners, believe in Jesus and what he's done for us, confess that with our mouths and say, God, I need your help. I need his help today, right? I don't know if you do. I hope that you've recognized that in your life. If you haven't up until this point, you can make that decision. And then for the rest of us, and let's live with that perspective, right? We're citizens of heaven, and that shapes everything else that we do, okay? Let me pray for us. Father, we come to you today, and in our difficulty and in our broken states, we recognize there's no perfect nation. We're thankful that we're citizens of a great nation, a place where we can worship you, we can be free. But God, if that weren't the case, God, I pray that even more so, we would be thankful for that, but that we belong to you, a greater citizenship in heaven, that no matter what happens here, God, you even magnify in our difficulties that great eternal dwelling place that will be. Remind us that we have a purpose now, God, that we might grow in godliness, that we might be these imitators of people who are already being faithful. God, that we might be looking around us in the world for those who say that they follow Christ, but maybe don't really. Help us hold fast to what we know to be true, your word, and not anything else that would lead us astray. Help us be focused on forever, that place that we will dwell. Help us to make good decisions now in light of that. God, we pray that no matter where we come from, no matter what our background is, no matter what our family situation is, or God, we just thank you that no matter where we come from in this place today, we can all gather and we can all know that we belong to you. For those who haven't, I pray that their confidence would come in the future from knowing you, that our identity really matters. God, I'm thankful that our citizenship can come from you, that we can dwell with you forever. I pray that would change our lives today. And this week, we would really dwell on that great gift that you've given us. And it's your name we pray. Amen.